Welcome to the Katie Bulmer Cook Podcast Show. Fitness, workouts, nutrition, business, interviews, entrepreneurship, and of course, plenty of northern banter. Here she is, your host, Katie Bulmer Cook.
Hi everyone and welcome to my podcast. Thank you for coming back and listening and thank you for all the fantastic feedback that I've been having. It's great to hear that you're loving the guests. And speaking of guests, I've got a cracking one for you today. I've got loads of questions to ask our guest on this particular episode of the podcast. So let's not mess about. Let's jump straight in there and allow me to introduce to you the lovely Richard Lee.
What a nice introduction. Hi, Katie.
Hello. I really wanted to get you on the podcast, Richard, because I think what you do is brilliant, it's fascinating, and you've been in music and in the fitness industry for a very long time. So could you please tell the listeners what you do, where you started, and how you got to where you are now?
Oh, right, okay. So I started, my love of the music industry was 35 years ago, listening to the radio, and I thought, I like that, I'd like to be a DJ. So I became a DJ, running a mobile disco service. That led to me sort of, you know, DJing up and down UK and across Europe, making some nice contacts, and then jump forward to 1999, when I found a company called the Music Factory Entertainment Group, and I thought, I like these guys, I'd like to work for them. And I knocked on the door, sent in a CV. At first I was refused a job, and then a year later they said, do you know what, come and join us, come and join our band of reps on the road. So I jumped in a van with a load of CDs from both labels that we run, which is Pure Energy and Mastermix, which I'll talk about in more detail in a moment. Ran around the country, sold a few CDs. Kept my nose clean, and then 3 or 4 years later, I'd moved through the ranks to being a rep on the road, to a producer, and then to running the labels and the position that I now hold, which is label manager and producer for Pure Energy Music, which is the UK and Europe's largest supplier of aerobics and fitness music.
Wow, I didn't know you used to do a mobile disco.
Oh, everybody in the music industry had a mobile disco.
Wow.
Mine was formed in 1984, and the big movie at the time was Ghostbusters, and I thought it was really cool to call my disco, get this, Disco Busters.
No.
And I look back now and realise it was really rubbish, but at the time it was quite cool.
Cool. So, well, I had no idea, so that's something that I definitely didn't know. Richard, what have been your major career highlights?
Well, I have to say, you know, finding a position here at Music Factory, because I've sort of found my niche now. This is where I belong. So I'm now a producer who every day I come into Music Factory and I get to play with other people's music, be it for Pure Energy or for Mastermix, which is the equivalent of Pure Energy, but for DJ. So, you know, I've produced music for Radio 1, so the BBC, Radio 1, which was a high. I've got to meet some incredibly famous celebrity people. I don't need to name drop, but that's been fantastic. And also, and I guess this is a strange one really, we're the home of a famous 80s act called Jive Bunny and the Mastermixers, and I've become the chief producer and face of that act. And 25 years later, I'm now getting to perform alongside some of my favourite stars of the 80s and 90s, and it's just incredible. I didn't think I could get any higher in my career, and it just keeps delivering.
So who are your favourite artists, Richard?
Well, I'm an 80s boy, absolute 80s fan. So my favourite bands of the 80s were groups like Madness, and then later in life I sort of found the works of Paul Simon and Elton John I found fantastic. But as an 80s fan, you know, I did some concerts recently with Jive Bunny, and I got to meet Billy Ocean and the Thompson Twins and Howard Jones and Kim Wilde, who I had a crush on.
Wow.
Carol Decker from Topow, who I also had a crush on, and I told her. And, you know, people like Pat Sharp, who I remember listening to as a DJ and watching on the Funhouse, and Pat's become a good friend, you know, because of the music industry that we work in. And the power of Music Factory. So that really has been a career high to work with some of these, you know, 80s stars and also some sort other modern day dance DJs as well.
What about current music? Have you got a favourite artist? Have you got an artist that you think continuously brings out good tracks specifically for fitness music? So is there an artist that you think will just always bring out stuff that's applicable to Pure Energy discs?
Well, yeah, I mean, Pure Energy, you know, the key to that is in the title of the company, Energy. You know, music is key. You can have the best routine in the world, but without the music, you know, the routine falls over itself. So we always work very hard to make sure the music's, you know, the best that it can be. And I, controversially, you know, I think people like David Guetta get some bad press, but you know what? They don't make bad records. They're just great pop dance tunes. Every one of his songs is a killer tune, a great pop song. You know, the big music at the moment, Deep House, is very big, and there are some beautiful songs out there. Calvin Harris never doesn't make a bad song. They're really innovative. You know, so really, from my point of view, I think people like, you know, David Guetta, I think Avicii I like, certainly Calvin Harris, some of the female artists as well. You know, Jessie J makes some nice tracks, and the remixes of her tracks are very good. Anybody like that. You've got to also admire, you know, people like Will.i.am. Who else do I like? Clean Bandit, I think they make
some
as well. You know, anything like that, the Route 94 stuff, any of the Deep House, really nice vibe at the moment. But if I had to pick one, I admire Avicii. I think that's nice stuff, really great music.
Okay. Now, you know, when I've been making, well, I made my first album with Pure Energy, and the second one's in the making. I was really nervous about sending you my track list because I thought Richard's got amazing music taste. He's gonna really judge what I think about music. And I shared with you my guilty pleasure. Well, I shared with you two guilty pleasures. The first one in general is Pitbull.
Yeah.
And then the second one is Ant and Dex, Let's Get Ready to Rumble. So,
okay, well, Pitbull would have been another artist I should have mentioned, because, again, he gets some bad press by certain people who think they've been credible to sort of say, oh, you know, Pitbull's songs all sound the same. Rubbish. Absolute rubbish. He's got a proven track record, and it works. And his music is fantastic, so I would absolutely agree with you there. Ant and Dec, Let's Get Ready to Rumble. What's not to like about that song? It's pure, unadulterated cheese, and I love it. And the first album you did, what was a pleasure for me as a producer, you know, and I've produced, hundreds, maybe thousands of albums, and in fact, certainly thousands of albums and mixes, was to see the different tracks appearing in there. You know, you've got a real cross-section of music, and very important. So I enjoyed, you know, producing your first album, and the second one has followed suit. Really great imagination that you've used, you know. Music, remember, Katie, is very subjective. What you like, somebody else might not, but I just hits the, you know, the audience and delivers absolutely on the bullseye stuff. Really great albums.
So have you got a guilty pleasure, Richard?
I've got loads of guilty pleasures.
Who are your guilty pleasures? Which songs, which artists?
Well, I have no shame because, as I said to you earlier, I'm an 80s fan, and I like the older music. You know, Music Factory with both labels, Mastermix and Pure Energy, and then Jive Bunny, they sell more retro music than anything else. The new music's So Here Today and Gone Tomorrow. So guilty pleasures for me. I'll sit here and listen to the 80s, and, you know, I can have anything from Bananarama and Brother Beyond to Paul Simon, Dire Straits, and then back to the 70s, you know, Gilbert O'Sullivan track will come on, and then a track from the 60s, bit of soul and Motown. It really is an eclectic mix that I play. It's whatever mood I'm in. But, you know, guilty pleasure for me, oh, goodness me. I mean, every single CD in my collection is a guilty pleasure. I have no shame. Why wouldn't you do? But if you enjoy it, play it.
Yeah, that's good advice. I think I should feel a bit more like that and not like I'm being uncool. You touched on Mastermix a little bit, Richard, and you said you didn't want to name drop, but one of my questions is, who's the biggest celebrity that you've ever worked with at the label?
Oh, goodness, right, get your dustpan and brush ready, because here we go. So recently, I've had the pleasure, you know, I produced mixes in the past for, like I said, Radio 1. So back in the day when Chris Moyles was on the radio, Chris was playing all our stuff. So Chris was a good client. We've worked with Absolute Radio, Virgin Radio as it was, Christian O'Connell, another massive radio presenter. And then recently, we've worked with 80s and 90s hero Pat Sharp. Pat's a delight. Coming up a little bit more credible, people like Danny Rampling. Danny's one of the world's greatest dance DJs. I had the pleasure of producing stuff with Danny. I've actually got an exclusive reveal for you as part of your podcast, because we're bringing Danny into the studios, and we're under negotiations at the moment to produce an album for Pure Energy with Danny Rampling. How exciting.
No way. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. Do you know, we tend to be tucked away here in South Yorkshire, and we just keep ourselves to ourselves. But over the years, I mean, we've had some big name DJs here. I was working with Judge Jules the other night. You know, who else did we work with? Sister Bliss from Faithless. You know, iconic dance heroes. And then on the cheesy side, you know, we work with some of the DJs who've been there, done it, and have nothing to prove. Ex-Radio 1 people. You know, people who've been on the TV. I was with, you know, Michael Ball, Martine McCutcheon the other day, recording some stuff. We just get where water can't. And that, you know, wherever there's an opportunity, and a celebrity, whether they're current or sort of, you know, from a period before, we certainly offer a music solution. We will get involved with them.
Wow, that's some seriously big celebrities.
Yeah, they're okay. And there's a few more that I haven't mentioned, you know, but let's leave it at that. You know, we don't want to go down too many name drops, you know.
Okay. I'm very happy with those name drops. That's more than I was expecting. Well done. Okay, let's go back to the fitness industry a little bit more. So how long has Pure Energy been going now in the fitness industry? Like, for as long as I've been in it, I can remember Pure Energy.
Yeah, Music Factory was formed 83, and we released the Mastermix DJ label in 86, and then Pure Energy followed early 90s. So we're sort of, you know, well over 20 years, aren't we? You know, a little bit over 20 years now. So we first started early 1990s. Everything was, you know, sort of new to us, and we were just finding ourselves. But we realized, if we can produce music for DJs, and the mixes we were producing for DJs were to get people dancing, of course, then surely we can cross that over to the fitness industry, and we've not looked back since.
And obviously the fitness industry must be one of the most fast-paced, quick-change industries going, like music is, I suppose. What are the main changes that you've seen to the industry, the fitness industry, since Pure Energy started? Because I think it's great to get a point of view that isn't one of a fitness professional.
I think it's a great question. And the one thing that comes to mind is I've noticed that the music's become, in certain sectors, faster and harder. So when we first started, we were very much straight down the middle, you know, doing aerobics and step and a steady 120 to 130 BPM, static BPM, and a very gentle rising BPM. And now we're producing music that is 150 BPM and climbing. So, you know, the hit race range that we do, you know, the boot camp stuff, 150 plus, the music we're producing for you, you know, a faster BPM. We're also seeing new and innovative classes coming to the forefront. So the industry's not staying with the same sort of workouts for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years like they used to be. It tends to be 1 or 2 years. And then they're like, okay, what else have you got? So from a music point of view, certainly the BPM range, you know, that's gone through the roof. But we still stick, remember, this is the key with Pure Energy. What Pure Energy doesn't forget is, yes, we provide the music because we're a music solution company. So we provide the music for the harder and the faster routines, you know, the hit and the conditioning and intervals. But we also make sure we keep one eye on that middle area, and we keep producing retro music as well. So we're still finding, while people are changing their music tastes, they're always coming back for that, okay, what have you got that's a bit retro for us, a little bit slower in BPM. So there are changes, but there are also people sticking with the sort of music that we were producing 20, 25 years ago.
I know we've discussed before about the changes in what instructors want, in what makes their life easier, in terms of choreography, notes, etc. Is that a big change that you've seen over the years, that you feel like now people want more, they want more help, they want more direction?
I completely agree with that. And then it's very strange. When we first started the service, we released the music, and then the natural progression from that was music and choreography. So we started recording, you know, the videos, and people were really into that. And then there was a period where it changed, and people were freestyling and thinking for themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's come full circle. Mm-hmm. What we're finding now is people will open up the CD and look into the middle section of the booklet for the choreography notes. We did it with your first album, Conditioning and Intervals. We've certainly done it with some of the other releases, and so much so that we've actually put a marketing plan together for Pure Energy so that whenever we release an album, we're also going to release choreography notes, and we're also now looking at choreography videos again. Certainly not to the standard we used to do, because the industry doesn't need it. It needs to be a more basic and sort of not elaborate filming. It just needs to be, there's the steps, here's how you do them. But yeah, people are certainly asking us now for the whole music and routine and choreography again. Incredible how it's come full circle.
And also with change, are you finding now that people are downloading more than they used to? Or do you think there's still CDs are just way ahead and that's the most popular choice?
I think up to 2 or 3 years ago, I would have laughed at that and said, do you know what, if we'd have pressed cassette, people would have still bought it. Because Pure Energy members, they were not stuck in their ways, certainly not, but they were very much, no, I'm going to use a CD and even a tape cassette. I mean, some of our instructors were still on tape cassette, incredible. Now we're seeing the balance shift. Downloading has become easier. People are, you know, modern technology is allowing people to download without the fear of being, you know, scared by new technology. So what we're seeing in Pure Energy is still a lot of CDs, because people want something for their money. If they're parting with money, and as a Yorkshireman, I can completely understand this, I want something for my money, whereas a digital download, there's nothing there other than, you know, just the audio. But we are seeing a shift. It was 80-20, and, you know, 5-10 years ago, it was sort of 80-20. And over the last 2-3 years, it's now 60-40 in the favour of CDs. And I think certainly by the end of this year, into next year, I think that shift will be 60-40 in the favour of downloads, and it will continue to go that way. But we will still sell CDs, and we will still, whenever there's a demand, continue to press them.
Okay, cool. In terms of trends, Richard, for the fitness industry, things do seem to come full circle. Like, my mum has been in the fitness industry now for 28 years. She's seen things come and go. If we go to expos, I'm like, wow, mum, that's amazing. She's like, I've seen it before, and I'm sure I'll see it again. But what do you predict for the next 12 months for the fitness industry? What kinds of classes? What kinds of music? Do you think we'll see some old trends coming back, or do you think there's going to be some new stuff?
It's a brilliant question. And if I had a crystal ball, I'd be producing everything now, and I'd be a very rich man in 12 months' time. But I haven't got a crystal ball. All I can do is use a bit of common sense. And what I have seen over the last 12 months, which gives me reason to think the next 12 months we'll see this grow, would be things like HIIT. I think, you know, all the high interval training, that is going to continue to be popular. They're springing up all over the place. But I also think there will be a retro trip. Now, what will be interesting is, what happens with stuff like HIIT and people doing boot camps and variations on boot camps is everybody's vying for the current trend. And what they forget is that eventually that bubble will burst. So there'll be somebody, and we're one of those companies going, do you know what, let's just keep an eye on a retro or something that nobody's thinking about and maybe dive into the archives. So whilst hits will continue to be popular and I think will grow and grow and grow, what might surprise you is somebody coming in with a retro fitness workout. And that may be something from, you know, harping back to a rock and roll era where, you know, you might have something like a jive aerobics or a fitness aerobics service that uses very old music, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s. Maybe something that even goes back only maybe 20 years. And certainly that's something that's on my radar. Mm-hmm. We're working with a company at the moment and a guy who has a certain style of dance music and choreography that we're looking to see whether that will cross over into the aerobics market. Needs a little bit of marketing. It needs to be, sort of put together carefully. But if it's marketed correctly, I think that could be something that would hit that market in the middle area. And the middle area being a sort of 130, 125, 130 BPM, as opposed to us coming in with something that's up there with the hit. We already have ours. For us to bring something in, I think would be futile. All you're doing is throwing something else at a market that's already going to be saturated. So certainly, what, keep your eye on that retro trip. I think there'll be something that'll surprise somebody next year.
Yeah. You know what I would really like to see come back? The return of the, like, Jane Fonda era of, like, the leotards. I really need, like, to make a comeback.
Well, do you know what? Isn't that funny? Because we were watching a programme the other night and it was some old American aerobics back in the days when everybody had the, you know, the sort of lycra, the leg warmers, and it was very Jane Fonda. And I know some people will look back on that and turn their nose up a little, but you know what? It worked. And what I found and I've learned as a valuable lesson here at Music Factory, and this is a, you know, some people will listen to this and may take this on board and some people will just dismiss it, but one should never take their eyes off you know, the music that sells and the choreography that sells. So you can be very credible and sell nothing. I've had a label here at Music Factory that was a worldwide brand, a worldwide dance brand, very credible, very cutting edge, and it made no money. When we turned it into a commercial venture, it made a lot of money. It scared off the core fan base, but it made money. Pure Energy and Mastermix, but more so Pure Energy, it's moved with the times, and yes, it has to go with modern trends, but it never forgets where it came from. Mm. And we sell more retro music than any other style of music.
Really? So,
absolutely. If you were to ask me, you know, and I'll tell you, we would sell probably 70% of our music is retro, maybe even more. Because people are always going back for the classics. New music is very disposable. What's current now won't be relevant in 2 months' time. So if there's a new, let's pick a track, an artist like Pixie Lott, Nicole Scherzinger, Beyonce, you know, maybe the new Coldplay track, which is getting, you know, there's the Hardwell remix of A Sky Full of Stars by Coldplay, for instance. That is massive at the moment. You go and play that in 2 months' time and nobody will want it. Whereas the Jane Fonda era, that kind of music never dates because it's already dated, it's already retro, and people are finding that and going back and going, do you know what, actually Jane had got a brilliant business model, made a few quid out of it, so who's the fool?
I have to say, putting that into like a real life scenario, my class always love it when I put on the latest Pure Energy mix or the latest chart songs.
Yes.
But there's nothing that lifts them more than the old stuff. So that last night and this morning I played the Pure Energy 90s party.
Yeah, brilliant.
Venga Boys, Barbie Girl, all of the Ginger G. Honestly, and there's something about that music that just lifts people up. The last two tracks on that album, 5, 6, 7, 8 and Cotton Eye Joe, people just go crazy for it.
Okay, so now that's very interesting. So to pick up on your comment about new music, Pure Energy has to supply new music, and we do. You know, we do the chart breakers every other month, and that is really cutting edge. But why do we do it every other month? Because in 2 months' time, people are going, right, give us some more new music. It's so disposable. But the 90s party one, we'll probably not do another 90s party now for a year, maybe 2 years, because we've used the biggest hits of that decade, put them in the right genre, so they're 90s cheesy party, and now everybody's satisfied and settled with it. And those last two tracks, Steps 5678, I actually know the guy who put Steps together and wrote that song. He's a good friend of mine. And that is one, without giving too much away, that's one area that we're looking at, that style of music, that kind of era. You know, that was 1999, so we're sort of, you know, 20 years old. You know, is it 20 years old? Yeah, it's a long time, nearly 20 years old, so 15, 16 years old. You know, a long time ago. Maths was never my strong point, Katie, so if I got that wrong, forgive me.
Well, no, because I was thinking of what memories that has for me, and those songs remind me of starting comprehensive school.
Yes, and that's the key. Mm-hmm. Think about that comment you've just made. Everybody has 3 years in their life for music, and those 3 years tend to be when they were 13, 14, and 15 years of age. Mm-hmm. So for me, that would be 1982, 1983, 1984, and everybody listening to this can now work out how old I am. I'm 43, everybody. Now, you, a lot younger, a lot spryly, a lot more trendy than I'll ever be, but your 3 years would be those 90s, mm-hmm. or, you know, late 90s, early 2000s or something, because you remember those fondly from your school mm-hmm. days, and everybody has an era where they go back. And what I like about fitness is the harder, faster hit, fine. But what I've noticed is some of the routines, some of the classes, people are grimacing and sweating really and almost concentrating too much. Now, the difference with your album, Conditioning and Intervals, you've got songs on there people know. And that's the key. There's the key. Whatever they're enjoying the music, they'll enjoy the class. Whatever they're enjoying the class, they'll enjoy the music, and they'll keep coming back. And that's the key. Never forget the power of the music, because without it, your class can fall over itself and just be hard work. And if you're not enjoying yourself, you know it better than anybody, then what's the point in doing it?
Yeah, absolutely. Richard, I always think it's good to get perspective from people who are not teaching classes, not delivering to customers, and have a bit of an outsider's point of view. So I've asked all of my guests, pretty much, I've asked them all this question. If you could give one piece of advice to people who work in the fitness industry, what would it be?
Oh, goodness me.
Big question, I know I've just sprung it on you. What do you think?
What, apart from making sure you all buy pure energy music, you mean?
Now, that goes without saying.
Do you know what? I think the one piece of advice I can give, okay, and this is a little twee, it really is, but I would say be nice and never stop learning. And the reason I say that is there are too many people in the industry who are so blinkered that they believe that they are the be-all and end-all, and their routines, their fitness classes are the best, and they so blinkered that when the bubble bursts, they have no backup plan. Mm-hmm. So I completely, all I do is observe every single fitness epics format, whether it's Pilates or Mind Body, to the very fast and frantic hit and everything in between. Always learn, keep listening, because honestly, knowledge, I know this is a cliche, but knowledge is power, and you can never know enough. There's so much music I don't know about. I was never a fan of it, but I make it my job to know. And if you've got that there in reserve, your career will continue and never run out of steam.
Yeah, I think that's a good bit of advice for anyone, whether it's the fitness industry or other. But yeah, it definitely applies very well at the fitness industry.
But look at you, you're a perfect example, a classic example of somebody who's taken that on board. You don't pigeonhole yourself into one area. Mm-hmm. You focus on something and you deliver it, and you deliver it better than anybody else. That's always been, you know, what you do. And that's an absolute true reflection of you and the relationship with Pure Energy. You are driven to deliver the best you can, which is exactly what we do. And it doesn't matter whether it's a high interval training class or it's an aerobics class. You put the same time and effort in, and therefore have not pigeonholed yourself, and will have a successful and long and fruitful career.
Oh, thanks, Richard. That's
nice. It's true, absolutely true.
Now, there's one thing that I know all of my clients specifically who listen to the podcast will want us to discuss with you. And that is your voiceovers on on my albums in particular, but also on the other albums from Pure Energy as well. My class, when they hear the words halfway there, go, oh my God, there's the voice again.
Oh, well, that's a bit of blushing now. That's about, the thing, okay, so when you're a DJ, and everybody has a DJ voice apparently, but I just talk, no, this is how I talk, you know, I have a gruff voice, and this is from years of being a DJ and a stadium announcer, shouting my head off, you know, in front of 20, 30,000 people trying to be heard. And it's resulted in this very gruff, croaky, but quite distinctive voice. And I never, genuinely, never, ever thought about doing voiceover work. And one day we did the first hit album, and I ghosted the vocal, which basically means I went into the studio and literally laid down a ghost vocal with view to getting a voiceover artist in. And when we engineered it, put it in the mix, one of our other instructors listened to it and said, that's it. That's amazing. It worked. And we stuck with it. And I know it sounds silly, but I do get a lot of people asking about that. And that's nice. You know, it's really nice. It's just a few effects on the voice to really deliver it. It doesn't drop back in the mix. It peeks through. It's not, hopefully not annoying, because that's, we didn't want it to be too authoritative. You know, we wanted it to be informative. And I'm hoping that, you know, that's the way it goes. And long may that continue.
Do you think you could just say for us, your workout begins in 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay. Your workout begins in 4, 3, 2, 1.
No, wait, that sounds exactly what it's like on the disc.
So there's somebody else stood next to me doing that. It's not me. It really is me.
Oh, Richard, thank you so much. You've been a brilliant guest.
Katie, it's been a pleasure. Lovely to talk to you. Absolute pleasure.
Could you tell us where people can find out more about you? So what's your Twitter handle? What's the website? How can they find out more about you and about Pure Energy?
Oh, good one. Now, I have some people, this sounds awfully pretentious, but I have people who deal with all my tweets and Twitters and Facebook and stuff. But let's do the website first while I frantically try and find my address. So the website for Pure Energy is www.pureenergymusic.com. Let me just have a quick look here on Facebook. You should know this more than me. If you're on Facebook, it's of course Richard Lee, and you'll see a little photo of me on there and all the Pure Energy stuff on there, so you'll be able to find me. And my Twitter is at Richard_Lee_DJ.
Brilliant.
How good is that? I was frantically trying to find it and I managed to remember.
And speaking of Twitter, for everyone who's listening, please feel free to tweet Richard and me at Katie Bulmer 1 with your guilty pleasures.
Oh, we need more guilty pleasures
more
in this world, please.
Guilty pleasures, please. Richard, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Great interview, great guest, and I will see you very soon.
Anytime, Katie. Enjoyed it. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Katie Bulmer Cook Podcast Show. Don't forget to subscribe, share, and have a great day.